It's Tuesday again, and I would like to hang with you lads, but I'm off to listen to the new episode of the Slaven Selection Show. Play now or stay in dark forever.
Hello! April is finally here, and I'm gradually migrating to Buzzsprout. Spotify has been down far too many times, so while I don't mind the platform, I prefer something more stable. I also purchased Domain Selection FM, which will serve as a future home for this and additional audio projects. Millions of visitors are anticipated in Niagara Falls, and a series of concerts throughout the week will reportedly deter them from leaving all at once. Please don't crucify me. These are the words of an astronomy enthusiast I know. He goes, "The Niagara Falls eclipse event is similar to the alleged millions of people have died, but no one knows who they are. Perhaps the Niagara Tourist Board is in a state of madness, excessively excited by the prospect of a massive financial effusion from our and the Yankee sides. What a coincidence. Niagara might be enjoyable, but I would always prefer Montreal. However, there are other places you can visit. According to Canadian Space Agency, the eclipse will be best visible in Hamilton, Ontario at 3:18 p.m., Belleville 3:21, Montreal 3:26. Sherbrooke in Quebec will get the most of it at 3:27, and the eclipse there will last 3.5 minutes. Then there's a Fredericton, New Brunswick 4:33, then Miramichi, New Brunswick 4:34, Fredericton 4:33, Alberton, Prince Edward Island 4:35, Summerside, Prince Edward Island 4:37, Mitkova, Nova Scotia, and on your way there you can whistle famous Carly Simon song, but that was in the late 70s. Yeah, eclipses are every 54 years, and Gander and Newfoundland and Labrador are the last on the Canadian tour list at 5:12 p.m. Toronto will receive only a portion of it, similar to a modest lowering of the stage lights. Still, your pets might be better inside the house during the eclipse, so I would strongly suggest you to put your cats, dogs, whatever you have, like inside a house, because animals can react unpredictably during those times. So, eclipses do not occur exactly every 54 years, but there is a recurrent pattern in which a similar eclipse path returns to the same portion of the world about every 54 years. Here are the main points. Solar eclipses are part of a wider pattern called Saros cycles, which happen every 18 years, 11 days, and 8 hours. This produces nearly identical moon shadow on Earth's surface. Every 54 years and 33 days, a similar path of totality, the path of the moon black shadow, passes over the same portion of the world. And this period is referred to as the exalgamos. I think it's exalgamos. However, the last eclipse in Montreal was in 1932. Me, myself, I witnessed a total eclipse of the sun back in Europe in 1999, and that was eerie. That was a really strange experience. So you do know that now we are going through solar maximum. So I have to also mention the Carrington effect, and which took place on September 1st to 2nd, 1859, and it was the greatest solar storm ever recorded. It was named for Richard Carrington, a British astronomer who was the first to see and record the solar flare that caused the event. Dazzled sky as far as Cuba and Hawaii, transforming darkness into day. Gold miners in the Rocky Mountains awoke around 1 a.m. to prepare breakfast, believing that the sun had risen on this foggy morning. And the Carrington event was generated by a massive coronal mass ejection, CME, from the sun colliding with the Earth's magnetic field. And this resulted in an enormous geomagnetic storm that caused significant damage to the telegraph system of the period, including reports of sparks, flames, and system failures across North America and Europe. Scientists believe that a solar storm of the magnitude of the Carrington event occurring now could have disastrous consequences for modern electrical and satellite-based technologies. It might cause massive power grid outages and interruptions that linger for years. Well, in Canada, we are experiencing premature solar maximum and the reversal of the sun's magnetic field. The current solar cycle 25, is predicted to reach its peak or solar maximum between January and October 2024. So this year. This is approximately 1 year earlier than previous estimates. Churchill, Manitoba, the Northwest Territories, and the Yukon are good places in Canada to watch the Aurora Borealis because they are located beneath the auroral oval. I might dedicate an episode or two to a solar maximum another time, but now let us travel back to beautiful Montreal. The last total solar eclipse visible from Canada occurred on February 26, 1979, with the path of totality crossing southern Saskatchewan, Manitoba, northwestern Ontario, and far northern Quebec. Some areas in Canada are more favored than others. For example, the last solar eclipse seen from Montreal was in 1932, as I have said. And the last total solar eclipse visible from Canada happened on February 26, 1979. The inhabitants of southern Saskatchewan and Manitoba, northwestern Ontario, and far northern Quebec were able to see this event. There was a partial one on March 7, 1970, and some might recall the eclipse of July 10, 1972, which crossed the Gaspé Peninsula, or the eclipse of August 20th, 1963, which was seen from the Maurice region. If you had the opportunity to witness either of these eclipses, there is no doubt that you have irreplaceable recollections of the event. Montreal prepared for the solar eclipse of 2024 by providing free eclipse glasses to its people. A total solar eclipse was scheduled for April 8, 2024, and Montrealers received 57,000 pairs of eclipse glasses distributed throughout the city. These free eclipse glasses were distributed at libraries throughout Montreal, including Bibliothèque Belleville, Bibliothèque Benny, and others. This effort attempted to ensure that citizens could safely see the unusual complete solar eclipse by supplying them with the proper eye protection. Yes, n'oubliez pas de protéger vos yeux. In literature, eclipses have been a reoccurring theme, inspiring various authors to incorporate them into their works. From ancient myths to contemporary fiction, solar eclipses have captivated storytellers across different mediums. Authors like Annie Dillard, James Fenimore Cooper, Virginia Woolf, and many others have vividly depicted the awe and impact of solar eclipses in their writings. These literary representations often go beyond more physical descriptions, delving into deeper themes such as existential reflections, human emotions, and the suspension of natural laws during these celestial events. The portrayal of eclipses in literature serves as a powerful narrative tool, symbolizing change, transformation, and the extraordinary nature of these cosmic phenomena. All celestial events can be used as a sign, but none, with the exception of potentially deadly asteroid, is as dramatic as a total eclipse. Authors use eclipses as a potent plot devices in literature, weaving them into their narratives to evoke a sense of awe, suspense, and symbolism. Eclipses are often depicted as moments when the laws of nature seem to be suspended, creating a dramatic shift in the environment and characters' perceptions. These celestial events serve as a powerful symbol of change, transformation, and impending doom in storytelling. Authors like Stephen King, let's say in Gerald's Game, and John Milton in Paradise Lost, have skillfully integrated eclipses into their works to convey ominous omens, psychological turmoil, and existential reflections. In literature, solar eclipses are associated with a sense of foreboding and mystery, where the temporary darkness and disruption of the natural order mirror the internal conflicts or external challenges faced by the characters. The portrayal of eclipses allows authors to explore themes such as fear, powerlessness, hidden truths, and the unknown. By incorporating eclipses into their plots, authors create a heightened atmosphere of tension and uncertainty, engaging readers with the symbolic weight and emotional impact of these cosmic phenomena. Overall, authors leverage eclipses as more than just astronomical events. They use them as narrative tools to deepen the plot, develop characters, and convey profound themes that resonate with readers on both intellectual and emotional levels. William Shakespeare's King Lear uses eclipses to foreshadow calamity and chaos, with characters interpreting them as harbingers of misfortune and societal collapse. Amy Lowell's poem Vernal Equinox explores the unease and discomfort associated with the onset of spring, using the eclipse as a metaphor for unsettling changes and potential endings. Thomas Hardy's work, such as The Return of the Native, employ eclipses symbolically to represent personal downfall, loss, and the overshadowing of characters by fate or circumstances. These examples illustrate how authors across different genres and time periods have effectively employed eclipses as a potent symbols of death, imbuing their works with layers of meaning and foreboding. Movies. While the use of solar eclipses in movies has been a captivating theme, adding drama, symbolism, and intrigue to various cinematic narratives, some notable films that feature solar eclipses as key plot elements include Apocalypto from 2006, directed by Mel Gibson. And this action-adventure film set in the Mayan Kingdom incorporates a solar eclipse as a pivotal event that influences the character's journey and the unfolding of the story. Then there's Barabbas from 1961. In this religious epic film, a real solar eclipse was filmed to heighten the dramatic crucifixion scene, where the character Barabbas encounters the eclipse as a profound moment tied to themes of life and death. Then 1985, Lady Hawk, directed by Richard Donner, and in this magical drama uses solar eclipses as a central element in the plot, where characters transform into animals during specific celestial events, emphasizing themes of love, transformation, and the mystical nature of eclipses. The Watcher in the Woods from 1980 is also a famous one. This American young adult horror film revolves around mysterious disappearance linked to a solar eclipse, creating an eerie atmosphere and supernatural elements tied to the celestial event. So if you're traveling to Montreal, be careful. So music, remember Bonnie Tyler? Sure you do, who doesn't? Solar eclipses have inspired a unique collection, a connection with music, and leading to the creation of songs that capture the awe and mystery surrounding these celestial events. From contemporary tunes to classical compositions, artists have drawn inspiration from solar eclipses to craft melodies that evoke the grandeur and significance of these rare occurrences. For instance, as I have said, Total Eclipse of the Heart, it's a fantastic song by Bonnie Tyler from 1983, which uses the metaphor of a total eclipse to symbolize loss, longing, and emotional darkness. The powerful vocals and dramatic lyrics resonate with the intensity of an eclipse, making it a timeless classic. Then there is Eclipse by Pink Floyd, featured in the album Dark Side of the Moon, which is very famous, like Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden, and so on. Like there are too many. In episode 6, I mentioned Inca's devotion to the sun, so I won't spend much time with them today. Briefly, the Incas saw solar eclipses as a sign of the sun's god displeasure, necessitating appeasement through gifts and sacrifices, as well as a bad omen for impending disasters. Solar eclipses were closely linked to their religious beliefs and calendar, as you know. If you haven't listened to that one, please go back and listen to the episode 6 from Slaven Selection, like a series. In 1919, two expeditions were arranged to witness a total solar eclipse in order to test Albert Einstein's newly published theory of general relativity. It was Arthur Eddington who led one voyage to the island of Principe, I'm not sure, of the coast of Africa, while Andrew Crumlin and Charles Davidson led another to Sobral, Brazil. The purpose was to see the bending of starlight around the sun, which was a crucial prediction of Einstein's general relativity theory, published in 1915. The trips were successful in photographing the stars around the sun during the eclipse and measuring the amount of bending, which confirmed Einstein's predictions. This was the first experimental confirmation of Einstein's theory of general relativity. And another historical event on May 29, 1990, the same day, was the proclamation of a short-lived Republic of Prekmurje in between Slovenia, Hungary, and Croatia. That's hilarious. It only lasted for 6-7 days. Maybe this guy was inspired by like Haggard's novel King Solomon's Mines, published in 1885, featured an adjusted version of the true account of Columbus' rescue. There is also Mark Twain's novel, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, published in 1889, which had a similar plot concept. Anyways, Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity, developed in 1915, altered our understanding of gravity, time, and the structure of the universe. In essence, general relativity states that gravity is not a force, but rather the bending of space caused by heavy objects. This hypothesis proposes that huge celestial entities such as the Sun bend the fabric of space-time around them, resulting in a gravitational pull. When it comes to solar eclipses, general relativity predicts that gravity will bend light in the presence of big objects. During a solar eclipse, when the Moon blocks the Sun's direct light, astronomers can see the stars nearby that would normally be veiled by sunlight. Then they can compare the locations of these stars during totality. Solar eclipses are significant in terms of general relativity because they provide observational evidence to validate Einstein's theory. The 1919 solar eclipse expeditions led by astronomers Eddington and Dyson gave critical proof of general relativity by revealing that starlight near the Sun was bent in the manner anticipated by Einstein. Solar eclipse observations have been recorded and interpreted by numerous civilizations since antiquity. Between 2137 BC and 1785, ancient Chinese astronomers saw nearly 920 solar eclipses, while Arabic scientists and Mayans also conducted thorough observations. Solar eclipses were viewed with horror and distrust in Europe, Africa, and Asia, with some historical events such as the conclusion of a battle in 585 BC in modern-day Turkey attributed to eclipses. Notable figures such as Johannes Kepler and Edmund Halley contributed significantly to our understanding of solar eclipses. Kepler described a total solar eclipse scientifically in 1605, while Halley precisely predicted the timing and course of a total solar eclipse in 1715. Solar eclipses were seen by ancient cultures as a source of dread, amazement, and spiritual importance. For instance, in ancient China, a solar eclipse was thought to occur when a celestial dragon attacked and devoured the sun, prompting humans to make loud screams to scare the dragon away and restore daylight. Solar eclipses were seen by the Inca in South America as a sign of the sun's god's displeasure, leading authorities to divine the source of his fury and make appropriate offerings. Eclipses were interpreted in Hindu mythology as stories about demons seeking immortality or dragons attempting to consume the sun. The Inuit believed in a pursuit between the sun goddess and the moon god, which caused darkness during an eclipse. These views represent how ancient cultures linked eclipses to supernatural beings and events. In ancient Egypt, the pharaohs regarded themselves as direct descendants of the sun deity Ra. They would wander around the temple until the eclipse ended to guarantee that the sun continued to move across the sky. Different Native American tribes have distinct ideas regarding eclipses. For example, the Choctaw thought that a black squirrel produced eclipses and would chase it away by making noise. The Ojibwa and Cree people saw legends about a kid or dwarf catching the sun resulting in an eclipse. And when it comes to Batamaliba people from West Africa, human anger spread to the sun and moon, causing them to fight and create an eclipse. During an eclipse, the Batamaliba people would come together to encourage peace between these celestial bodies. In Mesopotamia, in anticipation of a lunar eclipse, the Mesopotamians would install a surrogate king who would bear the brunt of any attack on the moon. This substitute king, though not actually in charge, would be treated well during the eclipse period, while the real king masqueraded as an ordinary citizen. If you can only do that today. The Hoopa tribe believed that during a lunar eclipse, the moon was attacked by mountain lions and snakes due to lack of food. The moon's wives would then come to protect him, collecting his blood and restoring him to health. The Luiseno tribe viewed a lunar eclipse as a sign that the moon was ill. Tribe members would sing chants and/or prayers to bring the moon back to health. Ancient Greeks believed that the eclipses were signs of God's anger with humans. They thought that during an eclipse, the sun would abandon Earth, bringing misery. And the word eclipse actually comes from a Greek word meaning abandonment. These rituals ranged from installing surrogate kings to protect celestial bodies to viewing eclipses as signs of illness or conflict among celestial beings. The Cree culture has a profound understanding of eclipses, with the term katahu translating to the smothering of light during an eclipse. Wilfred Buck, a Cree constellations expert, emphasizes the importance of stars and space in First Nations culture, highlighting their historical ties to celestial events. And if you go a little more south, in Navajo culture, a solar eclipse is not merely a spectacle, but a moment of solemnity and tradition. It symbolizes the end of a cycle and the power when the moon and sun align. During an eclipse, activity ceases as a show of reverence for this celestial event. The Navajo Nation takes significant steps to honor eclipses by closing tourist destinations and allowing residents to participate in cultural practices related to these events. Both the Cree and Navajo cultures showcase how these native tribes hold solar eclipses in high regard, intertwining them with their cultural heritage, beliefs, and practices. These rituals range from viewing eclipses as times of transformation and respect to using noise to scare away celestial creatures believed to be causing the eclipse. Each Native American culture has its unique way of interpreting and responding to lunar eclipses based on their traditions and beliefs. So, if you're coming to Montreal, like on April 8th, please remember to bring your eye protection and take off your Maple Leafs jerseys. My writer's imagination tells me that an apocalyptic event is the ideal time to execute a murder. Also, Leaf fans, don't wear them in Quebec, okay? Also, something just occurred to me. It would be fantastic if there were a road that followed the route of totality, allowing us to drive northeast in complete darkness. I wonder what the speed would have to be to follow the shadow. Well, I guess that's a great question for Neil deGrasse Tyson. So until the next time, profitez du spectacle céleste, restez selectif. I mean, stay selective. À la prochaine. Bye.